Today, brutal markets pivot on AI chips and energy despite earnings hopes. Hello again, this is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Share indices tumbled around the world on Friday despite strong results reported from the US banks on heavy trading, as heavyweight chip stocks plunged for a third consecutive day into a bear market. It's starting to feel like this might be a real tipping point for the global AI revolution. For all the hype and the huge share price jumps, there is a growing sense that the pinpricks in the bubble are getting bigger, even as Chinese AI startup Moonshot released a large open source AI system, delivering claimed performance close to US giant Anthropic's frontier model. In its third straight week of losses, the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index ended down 1.6% on Friday, putting it 20% below its most recent record close. That was reached on June the 22nd, after earlier falling 23.5% below that record. Meanwhile, oil prices rose to their highest levels in more than a month as the United States and Iran risked further escalation as they expanded their attacks to hit key infrastructure. Brent was up more than 15% over the past week to $88.26, while natural gas futures rose 18%, potentially giving another powerful kick up to inflation as high energy costs spill over into the broader economy, with warnings from the IMF and the IEA of more economic trouble ahead. The renewed conflict has again cut off global energy supplies via the Straits of Hormuz, but the threat is indeed widening. This is not good for the people in the area, nor the global economy, as oil reserves are now tapped out and the clocks continue to count down. MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe fell 1.17% to 1,108.52 on the day, and the pan-European stock 600 ended down 0.34%. But losses were more severe in Asia, with the MSCI broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares excluding Japan down 2.7%, while Japan's Nikkei tumbled 4%, putting it 12% below its recent peak and into correction territory on Friday. The ASX 200 fell just 0.5% to 8,796.7 to end the week down 0.1%. South Korea's KOSPI showed that it was in a bear market this last week despite being up nearly 62% for the year and, by the way, closed on Friday. And Europe's tech sector is among this week's top losers after its biggest quarterly jump since 2021. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.77%, the S&P 500 fell 1.01%, and the Nasdaq Composite fell 1.4%. And for the week, the S&P ended down 1.55%, while the Nasdaq fell 2.9% and the Dow lost just 0.93%. The Volatility Index was up 12.01% to 18.74. On specific stocks, Nvidia shares finished 2.2% lower, while Intel dropped 2% and Applied Materials fell 5.6%. Memory chip company Micron slipped 0.5% and SanDisk closed down 4%. SK Hynix's US-listed shares briefly dropped below their offering price before reversing losses to finish just modestly higher. The New York Times reports that Meta Platforms are in early talks to lease its vast AI data centers to Anthropic in a blockbuster $10 billion deal. The Facebook parent stock sharply paired losses on the news, finishing 2.8% lower. Apple and the US Justice Department are in early discussions about settling a 2024 lawsuit that alleges the iPhone maker violated antitrust laws. And Netflix forecast a second straight quarter of slowing sales growth, contributing to investor anxiety about the streaming giant's future. The shares slumped. SpaceX dropped 5.4% as a last-second abort of Starship's 13th flight test piled more pressure after the stock slipped below their $135 initial public offering price this week. Shares have lost about a $1 trillion since the IPO. And this week, IBM suffered one of its biggest ever single-day declines after warning that customers were redirecting spending towards AI infrastructure. Engie stocks actually were the only US industry sector to gain ground on Friday. Defensive assets, such as government bonds, were also in demand, while safer equity sectors, such as utilities, fell less than higher growth industries. In the bond market, longer-dated US Treasury yields dipped on Friday after the latest round of economic data and saw a weekly decline as markets have largely priced out any chance of a rate hike from the Federal Reserve at its policy meeting later in the month. The yield on benchmark 10-year notes fell to 4.545%, while the 30-year bond yield fell to 5.073%. In currencies, the dollar held steady on Friday, but ended the week lower as tame US inflation data led traders to cut bets on Fed rate hikes. Dollar index rose just a little to 100.75, with the euro down to 1.1438, and the Japanese yen strengthened just a little to 162.40. In precious metals, gold rose on Friday, but was showing its biggest weekly loss in 6 weeks as escalation in the US Iran war drove energy prices higher, fueling inflation fears and expectations of eventual US interest rate hikes. Gold US futures rose 0.79% to $4,023 an ounce. The head of hedge fund coverage at Goldman Sachs said in the note to clients that leverage has built up across the marketplace, seen, for example, in a rise in retail margin, the assets under management of leveraged ETFs, and the volume in short-dated options. And elsewhere, large hedge funds that typically use leverage to take bigger swings at the markets to boost returns have in recent weeks reduced their exposure to top AI infrastructure players. The focus now actually shifts to the earnings reports from two of Wall Street's Magnificent Seven, Alphabet and Tesla. They're scheduled to report quarterly earnings next week, along with semiconductors. Economic data released earlier this week pointed to a moderation in the US Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index in June, but the renewed fighting between Washington and Tehran may change that. US consumer and producer prices did moderate on a monthly basis, while gasoline station retail sales fell largely due to a slide in the global oil price after Washington and Iran inked that now void interim peace deal. The University of Michigan preliminary reading on US consumer sentiment ticked up to 54.4 in July. That's a 9.9% rise from June and is at the highest reading since February, largely due to easing price pressures at the gasoline pump. Consumers' year-ahead inflation expectations slipped to 4.2% in July from 4.6% in June, but again, this may change on the higher gas prices. Inflationary dynamics have rapidly shifted this month, however, amid the biggest escalation in tensions between the two sides since they signed that agreement. Dallas Fed President Lori Logan on Thursday called for modestly higher interest rates, and Fed Chair Kevin Walsh earlier in the week reiterated the bank's commitment to maintaining its 2% annual inflation target, although he didn't specify just how the central bank would achieve that target. So the question is he all talk and no trousers? European shares slid on Friday as intensifying military exchanges in the Middle East drove up oil prices and stoked global inflation fears, though a strong start to the corporate earnings season cushioned the decline and kept indices on track for modest weekly gains. Nevertheless, the pan-European stock 600 fell 0.3%, but did remain just about 0.1% higher for the week. Robust corporate updates, particularly from heavyweight banking lenders, provided a vital buffer to the broader market and lifted exposed indices earlier in the week. Final data from Eurostat on Friday confirmed that inflation in the Eurozone slowed to 2.8% in the 12 months of June. That dropped from 3.2% in the prior month, while the deacceleration to a multi-month low offers mathematical evidence of cooling consumer costs, the relief was largely overshadowed by the immediate geopolitical realities. The index reaction to the softer consumer price index print was very muted, with European equities remaining pinned near their intraday lows. Now attention is shifting to the European Central Bank's monetary policy meeting scheduled for next week. While a growing majority of economists expect the central bank to maintain its current benchmark deposit facility rate, the recent surge in oil prices has prompted markets to adjust their models, factoring in an increased probability of a later rate hike. Policymakers face a delicate balance between soft regional economic growth and potential supply-side inflationary shocks. Across the region, London's FTSE was flat on the day, but remained on track for a small weekly gain, buoyed by major banking stocks and as Andy Burnham was confirmed as Labour leader and incoming PM on Monday, despite a policy vacuum so far, although as UK-listed companies generate something like 75 to 80% of their earnings from outside the country, how significant is this really? In Paris, the CAC 40 lost 0.5%, tracking broader Eurozone sentiment, while Frankfurt's DAX edged down 0.4%. Among individual stocks, Danske Bank fell 1.5% after posting quarterly results. Volvo Group fell 0.6% after reporting its second quarter results. And Burberry reported a 5% growth in first quarter comparable store sales, meeting expectations as strong US demand offset weaker spending in Europe and the Middle East, affected, of course, by regional conflict. Analysts at UBS rate UK equities as neutral despite a supportive backdrop of reasonable valuations and strong earnings growth, citing better opportunities in markets with higher cyclical or structural growth exposure. The broker forecasts 11% earnings growth for UK equities this year, up from an initial 5% forecast at the start of the year, driven largely by a recent surge in oil prices. The broker upgraded UK banks to attractive, citing solid loan demand, elevated capital markets activity, a supportive rate environment, and reasonable valuations. European corporate earnings are now being revised upward at a pace and breadth not seen in years, according to Citigroup, a trend the bank believes reinforces its constructive view on the region's equities. Citi also says 80% of sectors in continental Europe are now in net earnings upgrade territory, according to consensus analysts, a meaningful shift from the weeks following the outbreak of the US-Iran conflict, when upgrades were confined largely to technology and commodities. But of course, that could change if things go sour, even more sour, in the Middle East. In Asia, Japan's Nikkei 225 slumped more than 5% on Friday, and that's the lowest level since June the 11th, leading a broader sell-off in Asian technology shares as investors continued unwinding AI-linked positions following a sharp overnight decline in US semiconductor stocks. Chinese technology shares also extended losses, while South Korean markets were closed for a public holiday, so watch Monday. The Nikkei was dragged lower by steep declines in heavyweight technology and electronic component makers. Memory producer Kioxia Holdings plunged more than 16%. That's its biggest decline in months, while Matura tumbled nearly 12% and TDK fell more than 6%. But Sunny bucked the broader weakness, up 1.6%. The selling spread across Greater China, where the CSI 1000 fell more than 3% to its lowest level since March 24, reflecting heavy losses in small and mid-cap technology stocks. An AI chip designer, Cambricon Technologies, fell more than 6%, while Foxconn Industrial Internet Co. lost over 5%. Semiconductor names including SMIC, Naura Technology, and Luxshare Precision also declined, reflecting broad selling across China's AI hardware supply chain. In Hong Kong, the Hang Seng Index fell more than 2%, with technology heavyweights Metien and Kuaishou tumbling about 6%, while Tencent Holdings, Baidu, and Alibaba lost between 2 and 4%. Billions of dollars in leverage bets on South Korea's AI darlings have warped that stock market, once revered as a reliable broad of global growth. It's turned it into a wild casino, confounding both regulators and investors. More than half of all the stock market circuit breakers on the benchmark KOSPI trading curbs, activated when the index loses more than 8% for at least a minute in South Korean history, have occurred in the past 6 months alone. Chip makers Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, big winners in the IA supercycle, now account for more than half of the KOSPI. And South Korean retail investors have 34.37 trillion won, about $23 billion, in margin loans at stake this week, slightly down from a June record of 38.6 trillion in what's become one of the strangest bear markets in recent memory. The rally rests not just on mountains of borrowed cash, but extremely concentrated bets routed through leveraged single stock exchange traded funds. As a result, this week, South Korea sought to block new launches of single stock leveraged funds. Regulators are actually trying to walk between dampening excesses without raising worries about a wholesale crackdown that could spook investors and trigger the volatility they're trying to curb. Across in India, at the close, the Nifty 50 rose 1.09%. Australian shares fell on Friday as heavy selling in BHP and a string of softer operational updates weighed on mining stocks, while the falling price of gold added further pressure. The ASX 200 fell 0.5% to 8,796.7 to end the week 0.1% lower as renewed fighting in the Middle East and Iran weighed on risk assets and surging oil reignited inflation concerns. Four of the 11 sectors were weaker. Materials plunged about 3% as BHP fell 2.7% to $57.54 amid strike action at Port Hedland in Western Australia, weaker copper production guidance, and a growing number of analysts concerned about peaked valuations. Gold miners tumbled as Northern Star fell 4.1% to $19.24 and Genesis Minerals fell 7.2% to $5.56. Regis Resources plunged 8.4% to $5.64 after the gold producer's 2027 fiscal year guidance came in below expectations. And banks were mixed. Commonwealth Bank dropped 0.8% to $171.78. NZ fell 0.4% to $36.06. And Westpac dropped 0.2% to $36.56. But National Australia Bank firmed 0.2% to $39.85. And Macquarie was at $258.41. Gains were led by consumer staples after Coles rallied 2.9% to $23.21. It told the market it had ended discussions with TPG Capital over a potential acquisition of Green Cross, which had seen shares fall about 9% since the July 1 announcement. High oil prices saw investors return to oil stocks, with Woodside Energy up 3.3% to $30.46. And Ampol up 1.7% to $37.55. And company news, Zip fell 5.1% to $2.98 after it said it would exit New Zealand, after deciding the market no longer fits its strategic priorities as the buy now, pay later provider focuses on Australia and the US. 4D Medical plunged 15.6% to $3.20 as investors weighed the impact of the US Congress introducing a bill that would direct the country's Department of Veteran Affairs to establish a pilot program using 4D functional lung imaging software to identify respiratory disorders and lung diseases in veterans. Perseus Mining fell 3.1% to $4.65 in the gold route. It said drilling and stronger than expected mining performance at its Yeouré gold mine in Côte d'Ivoire had increased confidence in extending the operation's mine life. The Aussie was at 69.81 US cents and 51.89 UK pence, while the two-year bond rose to 4.538% on fears of higher inflation for longer. Over in crypto, Bitcoin ticked slightly higher on Friday and has seen a marginal gain for the week. The cryptocurrency saw a push and pull this week between a sell-off in risk-driven assets and escalating US-Iran tensions against positive inflation data, leading to a largely flat performance. It was last 62,988 US. Bitcoin earlier this week saw a sharp surge on Tuesday that lifted above 65,000, helped by economic data that showed a moderation in US consumer prices in June, but the data was countered by surging oil prices this week that reignited inflationary concerns. Higher rates bode poorly for non-yielding speculative assets like crypto, given that they increase the opportunity cost of investing in the sector. Bitcoin has largely underperformed since the onset of the US-Iran war in February and is also trading down about 27% so far in 2026. Bitcoin spot exchange traded funds saw mild outflows this week after snapping an 8-week run of deep outflows in the prior weeks. Data from SoSo Value showed ETF outflows of $56.6 million this week, following a $197.4 million inflow last week. Elsewhere, Crypto.com raised $400 million from market maker Citadel Securities in a deal valuing the crypto exchange at $20 billion, marking the company's first institutional fundraising round. That's what the exchange said on Thursday. Citadel Securities, founded by billionaire Ken Griffin, is one of the world's largest market makers, providing liquidity across asset classes to help keep financial markets running smoothly and efficiently, they said. And Crypto.com said it plans to use the funding to expand further into other asset classes, including tokenized securities and derivatives. Turning to broader crypto prices, most altcoins were in negative territory across the week. World number two crypto Ether was down 1.5%, while XRP shed 1.4%. Ahead, the Iran-US conflict looks like it will continue to escalate, putting more pressure on energy and other commodities, while the questions over the AI bubble continues to mount. Of course, the broader question will be, will current good earnings justify current high market valuations, or will something have to give? Well, we'll see in the weeks ahead, but it's certainly not a raving buy. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.